Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Europe must take urgent action to address the major economic growth gap with the United States and China. That's according to our next guest, Maria Lepton, who is the president of the European Research Council. And Maria is visiting Ireland today for meetings with the Taoiseach. And we're also joined in the studio on this by Luke O'Neill, who's professor of biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin and a friend of the show, of course. Now, Luke, why are you here?
I'm part of the European Research Council.
You're on the council.
I'm the Irish representative in the European Research Council.
Okay, so that's good to get so that we know where we stand here.
That's right, yep.
Maria, you're very welcome to Ireland. Thank you for being here this morning with us. Now, we are one day away from having major disruption here, potentially, to Ireland's economic model. Can you tell us how concerned the scientific community is about the introduction of tariffs and the potential impact?
Yes, well, thank you. First of all, it's great to be back in Ireland. I was here 3 years ago, invited by the Academy. As citizens, we scientists are, of course, terribly concerned. And it's not just Ireland that's hit. I'm German. You can imagine how much the Germans are concerned. So as citizens, we're concerned. Of course, we depend on the well-being. We also contribute to the well-being of our countries. As scientists, as such, for a science, I think we're more concerned for our colleagues in the US who are, of course, being hit by restrictions there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we're concerned as citizens. I think science will not be very directly affected, except eventually when our economies tank, everyone will be.
So part of the plan, though, is to invite some of those American researchers and scientists who you are concerned about to come and work and operate from the European Union.
Well, science is very international by nature. We all have. I've known Luke forever. We all have friends, colleagues throughout the world. We are a big network that spans the world. Like I say, I don't like the phrasing of, oh, this is an opportunity to snatch back our colleagues. That's not how we see it. We feel with them. We think the US is a great place to do science. So, it's more sympathy and understanding for their situation. Of course, we must, if they cannot carry out their science there for whatever absurd reasons, we must welcome them here. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're doing. That's what, again, the ERC has always been open to interactions with the world. It was founded in part to be attractive for scientists from abroad, and it has always offered an extra sum of money for people wanting to come into Europe to set up their research groups here.
So that
we just now upped that amount.
That opportunity is there for them. But I really want to talk to you about competitiveness, because this has been a theme for some time. We heard from Mario Draghi, the former boss of the ECB, who did a very detailed report about competitiveness. And he said that Europe must genuinely fear for our self-preservation, and a sense of urgency is needed in the face of this new US administration. Can you describe for people listening, from your point of view, if we don't take action, what the situation will look like for Europe in, say, 5 or 10 or 15 years' time?
Yes, well, we can, of course, we can't make predictions. We need crystal balls for that, and we don't believe that crystal balls work. But what we can do is look at the past and compare it to the present. And when we look at the past, we see that all the innovations, all the big things that make money now or that we use every day, whether it's our iPhones, whether it's the drugs that we're having, that they come from discoveries in the past that nobody knew would be important. So, of course, Draghi wrote his report before the current US government. He was just looking at the facts. We lag behind China. We lag behind the US in in being leading in innovation. And that's not because we don't have the talent. We do have the talent. Mm-hmm. We lag behind in financing that. And what was also called for is freedom and independence and opportunity. So I think I agree with Draghi that Europe needs to do more. We need to pull together now, more so than ever, in everything we do. And we need to be sure that we don't cut off the pipeline that will feed the discoveries that we'll need in 4, 5, 10 years' time to deal with the crisis that we will then have.
Okay.
AI, by the way, is a great example for that.
Tell me about that then. Why do you use that as a good example?
Because AI wasn't born when ChatGPT was released a couple of years ago. It's been going on for more than 50 years. So this used to be done, the foundations for this were laid by mathematicians, computer scientists, who were basically ignored as weirdos with beards sitting in their ivory towers. And funding came and went. It's their work that nobody understood at the time that then came out with this innovation. And as you've seen, another innovation, DeepSeek, on top of ChatGPT within 2 years' time. So it's all there. That foundation allows us to make new discoveries. If you talk to AI people now, they say, no point in trying to catch up with China and US now. What we've got to do here in Europe is focus on the next discovery that will make us lead in 5 years' mm-hmm. time. Large language models, passe, I'm not interested. I'm working on the next big thing.
Right, and be patient because those yes. things take time. And yes. as you say, we've got to lay the foundations now.
Yes.
So, Luke, from Ireland's perspective, how important is all of this?
It's essential there for Ireland as well, remember, because we want to be a successful country into the future, don't we? And that means investing in science and innovation. I mean, we're terrified today about these tariffs and drug companies leaving. If we invest in science in Ireland today, we could have our own pharma sector in 5, 10, 15 years' time and not be dependent on other countries, for example. And Ireland has some fantastic scientists, remember. And again, as Maria has said, the deficit's been in the fund. Now, everybody wants money, of course, is always the argument. But you need to invest in this. And the Americans have been for a long time, and so have the Chinese. America's changing slightly. Mm-hmm. But still, for Ireland, it's essential. The most important thing for me is we've got great talent in our young people, remember. Yep. One reason Big Pharma is here is our education system. Why can't we get young people now innovating, discovering the new things for the future that will build Ireland up then as a really successful country into the next? Now, the trouble is it's 5, 10, 15 years time frame mm-hmm. is the
so
challenge.
So are you saying that we have work to do on innovation and research here?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We're underinvesting massively in it. This is one of the sad parts of this. Ireland has not been investing mm-hmm. in science effectively for the last 20, 30 years. We're half the European average. Now, for me, that's a shameful statistic, given now Ireland has a surplus. Now, I know many countries are, or many people are looking for access to the money. Mm-hmm. So when I go to Brussels, I used to go to the Brussels in the 90s in the EU, and they would say to me, oh, there's poor Ireland, we're going to give you money. I go now and they go, you guys are loaded. Why aren't you investing yourselves in science? And the ERC, remember, is not meant to replace national funding. The ERC is an add-on to your national budget. And if you don't have sufficient national funding, it's harder to get the ERC money. Mm-hmm. So if we invest ourselves, we'll get more ERC money from Brussels.
Right, so that's how it works, Maria.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was just going, first of all, going to back up what Luke said about the talent here. So the ERC funds, as you know, fundamental research, frontier research that is based exclusively on researcher ideas and selected only by excellence, no strings attached. And Ireland has been really good at attracting ERC grants. So some 200 over the past, since the ERC has existed, which amounts to 350 million. But it is a leading country in that. So the talent is there. But we see from the comparison across Europe, those countries that have the foundations in the country, where the country supports it, are the ones that attract the most grants and are the ones that make breakthrough discoveries.
Ah, so you agree then with Luke that Ireland needs to do more in order to attract more investment from the European research funds?
Certainly. I mean, Ireland is great. That's what the data show. Mm-hmm. But it needs stability and it needs consistency. That's one of the most important things in funding risky research, is that you need a perspective of stability and security. Not job security, you know, you don't want to sit back and be lazy, but just know that the funding is going to be there in 5 years' time so that you can do high-risk research
okay.
with potential
high-gains. So that would tell us then that we can't be doing funding from budget to budget, Luke, no, in the political
exactly.
system.
Yeah. Well, as Maria exactly. said, scientists need stability. Now, the Americans are worrying that if you're a great scientist, you want to do great science anywhere. It doesn't really matter what country you're in a sense. If you're not getting sufficient support, you will move somewhere else. And American scientists are contacting us going, we can't be guaranteed anymore. They're cutting our funding. You know, there's uncertainty there. Mm-hmm. And that's bad because you can't build up your team, you can't recruit people. So you need 5-10 year time frames really here, which for politicians sadly is a bit too long. And we try to make this case to them, but it's challenging for them to see those kind of time
right.
frames.
So when we look at what's happening in America, we could have a situation where the EU could benefit from what the Trump administration are doing, in that the EU could become a very attractive place to do this research.
Like I say, we should be open to receive them. I think, you know, it takes a long time to build up research teams. That's the stability we're talking mm-hmm. about. You need infrastructure, and to sort of, maybe a mathematician can pick up his or her paper and pencil and move, but an experimental scientist or someone who needs a big library at their or databases, you know, it's not that easy. So we should be open, but we should hope that sanity will set back in. But yes, we should and can do more to create that haven in Europe, mm-hmm. which, by the way, is also up to the individual countries. We need to pull together. We need mobility opportunities for better mobility in Europe. I think in all fields, not just defense and economy, but also in establishing a real European research area, we all need to pull together.
Because there are only a small number of universities that feature in the top, you know, in the charts,
yes.
really, when it
yes.
comes to
yes.
research and yes. innovation. So we need to start running that race with the Americans and the Chinese in a very competitive way.
Indeed, we need to be competitive. I don't know whether the charts are the best way of being competitive. Every metric creates its own incentives, and they're not always the best. I think we have many, many, many very good universities in Europe, as Lucas said. Great talent here, well-educated, free education in many places. So I think that's far more important than trying to make a race to mm-hmm. On a chart. Quality matters, and we have a lot of quality. But pulling together and allowing, you know, same systems, same degrees, pension rights transfer, we still haven't got that in Europe. And I think that is the major challenge for Europe now. And if this crisis doesn't make us pull together, I don't know what will.
Well, I'm very grateful to you both for coming in today on what is going to be a very busy day for you. And I know you're meeting the Taoiseach later on, so we'll be interested to see what emerges from that. Maria Lepton, President of the European Research Council, and Professor Luke O'Neill, thank you both. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.